What's up, everybody? This is Culture Court. What's up, everybody? This is Culture Chords, and I'm Merlin. On this episode, we get to connect with an artist, producer, and engineer all the way from the DMV area. So why don't you tell us, who is Sean Julio?
Sean Julio is a professional. He's an artist, producer, engineer, but just an enthusiast in music. Yeah, just a love for the culture. I guess the culture, but just music, just sound. This genre. It's an experimental, free will, open-minded personality.
I love that. And I mean, I saw that you just mentioned right now the culture. So before we talk about that, what made you go from your first artist name to now Sean Julio?
It was pretty like generic. It was like two TWO, so it'd be six then, but it was a play on it. So it was like an underscore, also like to like eyes, kind of. But different DSPs, like one DSP would have an underscore, another DSP would.
Oh. So
hard to kind of find it and identify exactly who I was. And then, like, it wasn't distinct enough. It was just two. If you type that in, you would get a. You know, I purchased a shit ton of, you know, search results. So
yeah,
it wasn't distinct enough. So I had to kind of do some rebranding, think about it. And I just came up with Sean Julio at the time. I mean, I still drink, but Sean Julio is kind of one of my favorite drinks. So it just seemed like people call me Sean Don. It just, you know, seemed right.
No.
It didn't seem forced. You know, it was just like right there. The Instagram name was the main one.
Yeah. Let's just go with it. Yeah, don't I feel that? I mean, I just ran away wanted to ask that because I saw that mentioned. I was like, huh, I wonder why he changed his name. We're like, was he not feeling it anymore? But that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it was kind of like a group thing. I'm like, I was kind of shedding myself. That's also like my childhood nickname. So like my parents and my siblings and stuff like actually called me that. They were like, but it was like, okay, I need to kind of like separate from that. And I'm growing to like a
friend. You didn't really, I mean, I don't want to say you were ashamed, but you just didn't want to hide behind anything anymore, right? Like you were.
Yeah. Kind of like, yeah.
Exactly. I love that. And I mean, like, it. You were saying like you're from the DMV area. Now, I mean, being from the DMV area, I know like different locations have different sounds. I always mention Bay Area just because that's closest, but like growing up in the DMV area, like what was that like for you? Like, I'm sure that kind of sparked your interest in music as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my father was a DJ, so I easily kind of did that live in music, but like a lot of what you're very here was go-go, like that's our music. That's the music of DC. Specifically, like I grew up in DC. I moved to PG County, Maryland, which is right outside DC when I was 13. So still kind of in the mix, but a little bit outside of it. But I grew up on the DJ. I was well into music, but he played a lot of like go-go, like house music, like Baltimore club music, Chicago club music. On top of hip hop, on top of like some neo soul, you know, things like that. So my upbringing in music was kind of different. I also grew up in the church of gospel, things like that. It was just like a mixing part of loving kind of this thing and stuff I was taking in. So I kind of just grew with it. I started DJing with my father. And we'll go to sets and I started doing my own mixing. And then I learned how to produce at like 13. And it just took a different form after that. Like, it's kind of changed my life.
I mean, I bet, especially having like a family member who is already like involved with music, getting the chance to like listen to them play, like being inspired by what they do. Like, that's all very, I mean, that sounds very exciting to me just because it's just like, oh my God, like this is something we can not only bond over, but like you get to learn like in person, you know, you don't have to really go out of your way because you have someone in your family.
It was cool. I wish I had actually like learned how to play an instrument. That's the one thing I kind of don't know how to, but not yet. Because I want to say like I try to play everything. But it was definitely cool than being exposed to that and seeing that and experiencing this creativity. Like you see it on TV, you listen to the radio, but like seeing someone that does it, it's
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I feel the same way, especially like there's a man that I interviewed. His name is Eric Tucker, and he was so nice enough, like he's a producer, but he was so nice enough to like show me the studio and whatnot. And like once I saw all of that in person, I'm just like, these people are so talented. Like it's so cool. Like talking about it is one thing, right? But then actually seeing it, like you said, it's just a whole different thing. Like you get to see their skills, what they do, how it works out, so many things.
Being exposed to like a network of people and just learning from other people outside of like the fame and different techniques, just picking up on different things. I just knew, especially when it came to the things that I was really like the biggest thing for me was just like learning, kind of learning from other people because it's different to do everything in a different style.
Well, I mean, I just want to ask this though. Like, you do want to learn an instrument. Like, we're not saying you're never not going to learn how, but taking your steps to become a producer. Now, like, how did you kind of start that up, especially not knowing an instrument? Like, were you just more on listening to different things and putting it together, or what was that like for you?
Yeah, more or less like related sounds because my background was DJing. So initially I already kind of knew like BPM and tempo. So like okay, start there, the foundation and building up from there. I wouldn't say I was tone deaf at first in a sense because I was just dropping sounds anywhere, but that really knowing not really imagining, I'm sorry about that.
No.
That big thing, I don't know what it was.
You're good, don't worry.
But it was just tone matching wasn't a thing for me, but the more I got into it, the more I learned, oh, okay, what to do and how to blend it perfectly, like to a T. And then a lot of new technology came out to read and the chords of this thing you're playing and the chords of that and just lasting that way, but it's also just just learning and really diving deep into the craft. And so I just took that time once I laid that foundation of like tempo and just learning. I just started going to get packs and kicks and things like that and just started playing around. Everything was challenging.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like what they said, right? Like, what's it called? Practice makes perfect. Like, you're not gonna be like the best person at something new on your first day, but the more you
Yeah, for
work on
sure.
it, the more consistent you are with it. Like, here you are today creating your own music.
And then even where I am today is not like I would consider it perfect for where I am, but even like who knows, my legs off the like today I might learn something to go right there. I think it's better, so it's always something like so much like now so much stuff that I don't have, but even.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, when it comes to like your creativity, when it comes to like creating a beat now, is that something like, I don't want to say like you think super hard, like it stresses you out, but like, how do you find like the inspiration to even create beats? Like, do you see something or do you hear a song and think, oh my God, these instruments would blend better in your head?
Yeah, a lot of it's a combination of things. Like you said, it's either listening to us, so I don't listen to other stuff. You see things, but it's one of those, it's like sounds I might hear outside. I might like take my phone out of this voice recording, so voice memo or something, and this, and drop it to myself, and put it in the keyboard and see like what sounds I could come out. Because you can literally make anything. Like it's crazy. So it's a combination, like you say, and then once I get like a layer foundation, I heard something earlier. I like this horn they added in. I need some like saxophone or something in my beat. Go find a sex. And you got this regular. So this one,
No, I mean, honestly, my favorite thing to ask is just like more about producers, just because, like you said, it's fun for me. It's fun to like learn how the pieces come together, you know, especially since you are the beat maker. Like you're not only working with yourself, but you're working with another artist, right? And so, like, just making the two blend together sound really well, I feel like that's like a challenge in itself. But like a challenge worth taking in a way.
And ups and downs for sure. It definitely is beneficial though. Like you learn a lot about yourself in terms of the things you're able to do, like how other people get that sound that they're looking for. But you also learn about like the artist you're working for, and you can kind of talent they to step outside of the comfort zone and things like that. So it's definitely like taking a take up and down kind of thing with a lot of the people, but I enjoy it because that is what producing is. That's what makes it like worthwhile, is being able to work with other people.
Absolutely. I mean, like, what would you say is the hardest part for you on being a producer? Like, when I think about it in my head, I'm just like, when you said up and downs, like, you get to work with different artists, right? So it's like opening like different paths for you, like maybe something you've never really thought of, but then like that artist kind of helped you create something fresh. But then you also have like the downs where like maybe it's not very cooperative or like something like that. So I mean, well, but that those are just my words. Oh, so like what would be the hardest for you?
I think you hit it on the nail with the kind of I wouldn't say cooperation, but kind of cohesiveness of blending the two ideas together. It's not super hard, but it just takes time. It just takes a lot of like communication. Like I say, just challenging each other to step outside of what we're used to, what we're used to hearing, what we're used to like saying, talking about, things like that. So it's a challenge, but it's a challenge worth. Like it's like kind of like a risk worth taking in. You kind of got to get over that up in order to be like, okay, we can move on to the next, and there might be a lot less of a relationship from that point. So.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like what's it called? You can't grow in your comfort zone, right? Like even if you don't know what the genre is, like what that music is really like, if you take that step, the better you're gonna be at it. I feel that. I mean, this is like just the scenario, but like if you got to blend two genres that don't really. Oh, I don't know how that happened, but okay. if you got to blend two genres together, let's just say like it's genres you've never really thought about that could blend together, but you always wanted to try it. What would that be?
I can't say solo or anything. But I Oh no! Oh no! I want to say country music and like go on.
Country music.
Have
Okay.
you heard of me?
Go-go music, no, but I mean, after this, I'm definitely gonna check it out.
Like
Okay.
little band that try to be ACB. Yeah, that guy band, as a those songs like old school, bands. Yeah, check out some logo.
All right. Yeah, I will. I mean, but you think now, would you ever saying those two genres, like would you ever actually create a sound like that? Country and go-go? I could try. You could try. And I just like throwing that out there because what's it called? Like we all listen to a ton of music, right? But then like sometimes I've always like thought about like what if like classical, you know, was mixed with like I don't know, like rock or like hip hop, like what would that sound like? Like, would it just be like very intense? Like, you know, like exactly. Yeah, you exactly. So like the ideas I feel like are limitless just because like the instruments that are used within these genres. But like once we really think about it, it's just like, do they actually work? Or is that just a cool idea to think of? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of times we hear that in music to be true, though. Like, you hear kind of a lot of genre thinning and, something that's like a lot of music has the same kind of track and pop growth and like, country music is kind of gathered into now. So it's all kind of like, they all kind of like borrow from each other, especially now in today's age, in order to like kind of make money is like important to me. I've been to other genres or at least try to not necessarily force it, but it would, you know, kind of get on that type of beat. But
Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely, like, especially like talking to like upcoming artists and whatnot, it's just like you don't really hear the answer of like, oh, I only do this genre or I only do that genre. It's just like, yeah, I do this, but I also do that. You know, like I can make myself sound like whatever I really want to, whatever is needed.
and that's why exactly what you said, because you can link yourself out like anything. It's going down the link to a little bit of anything, you know?
Yeah, no,
Kind of like
absolutely.
Jerry Clay. I
Yeah.
mean, he set the tone for you. He does everything. He can do art and so he can give you a rap song. Like a little rap 4 minutes, he can give you a what is that from deep type by immediately you can't drill me. My name was K-pop. Like, you know, so.
Right. No, I mean, it's true. Like Drake, Beyonce, like you see The Weeknd, you know, The Weeknd was like known for like those R&B songs for the longest time. And then all of a sudden he like exactly like what I think it was the Starboy album where he had like
Yeah.
R&B, pop, and even like a rock song. And I was just like, oh, this is
My
different.
favorite part of the library like that. My main show with
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was like, not only was it like him showing like different colors of him, but I think it was just so cool, like how he all blended that well together. Like the songs are great. I just love the energy of that album.
yeah, so okay.
What would be your favorite album or your go-to album when you're starting to like create music?
I think I have one in particular. I think it depends on the mood, what I'm trying to make.
Okay. So like let's just say you're in a very chill vibe, but you're also like motivated at the time. What would be your go-to?
Probably an Outkast. So I love Aquemina. That's like one of my favorite albums ever. So definitely like Outkast, Aquemina,
All right.
Kanye, think the college dropout, Jay-Z, the group prep one. Yeah.
Now
Other
would
than that, it's a lot of others, which really for like any music I'm gonna go out.
yeah.
Any
Now these artists that you named, like, are they also people that kind of, I don't want to say like shaped your music? But kind of just helped influence you, or would that just be a different group of artists?
not kind of the same, but that name, but definitely, I would say influence. Well, I would say influence, definitely like influence on his wordplay, this boyfriend, if I didn't necessarily like with that lifestyle or anything, which is like how they put the words together, like for similes to the wordplay, to this real life storytelling. Yeah, I just love their energy.
No, I mean, I get that. I mean, listening to your music, I don't know why, but I thought of The Alchemist, and I hope that's not an insult, but it's just like, I think it's kind of the vibes that you give in your music, you know?
That's he's one of my white producers, top five for sure.
Really?
Like, and yeah, I think he's probably
Awesome. Cool. I mean, yeah, no, like I liked how you describe your vibe as tranquility just because you really hear that, you know, in your music. And so, like going into that type, like why being a songwriter, being a producer, like what made you want to create like this type of vibe for your music?
who I am as a person. I don't try and be, I don't try to write about like anything other than like, I just write for me, really, and I put out what I want to put out. So, really, it's just who I am. My turn, and peacefully, naturally, I have my, you know, ups and downs, and I write about those, but I just try to be as level-headed as possible and just try to have fun and be creative and think outside the box. Like I said, wordplay is a big thing for me. Also, just being mindful of my words and knowing that the power that I have with my words and like people actually listen. So I have to be mindful. But there's also being true and staying honest, like to myself.
Like you're not trying to be like two different people where you're like an artist and who has to show up a different way and then yourself as a different way. Like you want you're you don't want to be like ashamed to show who you are as whole, right?
It's not a face symbol, right? So we might as well just be who we are and just, you know, show business who you are. And eventually, like, you get checked for some of the stuff we talk about. You know, so you have to show up as who you are.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to love you. This is your first impression of you.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to show up as who you are. I just try to show with I am. People are going to take them different ways. Everything is
Right. I mean, you don't want to like people please and like ha make them like you just so like you fit in. Like it, whoever, what's it called? Like the law of attraction kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
Literally, I was about to say, it's just attraction. Like, if you're just dating, you just get it. You know what to do. Recognize for it.
yeah, I get that. I mean, when it comes to like you've mentioned wordplay, and I'm guessing like as a songwriter, especially like that's something. I mean, would you say that's like your most fun part, or would you say it's the beat making?
Beatmaking is fun. Beatmaking is fun. Writing is cool too. It's a different, I have to split those two processes up. So how I want to produce, I'm going to turn myself to produce. I'm going to produce a voice. But when I lie, I want to take my time already. I'm going to take it very. So it takes me a while, but it's necessary. So
No, I mean,
it's not as bad as it would be in it, right?
I mean, it seems fun. But I mean, like, you started back in 2020. You have two singles out now. Are like you like the pace that you're going? But my question is, are you planning to release any more, especially within this year?
Yeah, I do. And so it's only like that because I had the name up, but I knew you'd have everything. I took everything down. So it was more my catalog. Like, I re-released Young Finest because I really filmed that song and I just remixed it and everything. And I kind of question myself because I wasn't going to put out, I wanted to put out everything, like we put it out, but now, like, I won't do it. So I did it. But that's why I'm going to leave some phone. But I do plan to release some more stuff. And I have a lot of other, what the hell happened? I got some other stuff. So I do plan to release them. But the biggest thing is working a lot and collaborate between get the power for other artists and then get some beats out. Well, I definitely plan on releasing. Maybe not. I wouldn't say a part of it. I'm not going to plan a part of it.
But something, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I mean, with like plans for upcoming music, do you plan on doing any performance anytime soon or?
Eventually, I don't have anything lined up now. I'm an engineer at Double Studios. It's a studio out here in Rockville, Maryland. They just really think they're from here. They don't know what I'm talking about. And at Rockville, Maryland, Double M Studios. So they have, I would say, quarterly nights where they have the artists. Them love, not necessarily love with them love or anything in there, but I want to like work with them on that. And so maybe, but I'm playing my role as an engineer right now, focusing on that and trying to help other artists, like I think get the quality out of their music, stuff that we're producing. And you'll see me about the
I hope so, especially the way that you talk about like music and what it means to you. I hope something comes up soon. No problem. But when it comes to like the listeners, people who do want to support you, where's the best place that they can follow you at? Just so they can stay up to date with what's new with you and whatnot.
So it's probably the best way, Shaolio underscore. Also on Twitter, Shaolio underscore, same thing. Not very active on TikTok, we'll see what's going on. That's that as well. But that's really it. I'm not too social media active like you are, but I'm places.
I mean, that's better than nothing. And we're also going to attach the links onto your episode, so you don't have to worry about that. And people who do want to support you will just be a click away and they could follow you up wherever. No problem. But other than that, that's going to be it for our podcast. Thank you again for being down, wanting to communicate. I know we haven't even met in person and this was probably random for you, but I really enjoyed it. So thank you.
Very ready to I will be and try to decide one beyond that fighting key.
Thank you. All right. You have a good night. All right. If you like this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe for future episodes. And don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at Culture Chords. Thanks for listening. Till next time.